Tonight is our third shiur on the fifth parak. This fifth parak is really important. This fifth parak has been really practical. The previous parak was practical as well. The fourth parak was focused on thinking about balancing one's midos, halachta b'drachav, which later in Rambam's life becomes the first two prakim of Hilchas Beis. Prakim Aleph and Beis are about Valachta V'drachav. And now this fifth parak of Shmona Prakim corresponds to what, in a shorter version, becomes the next parak in Hilchas Beis. The third parak of Hilchas Beis is largely about this, about what the Rambam refers to there as a mitzvah medivrei Kabbalah of B'chol Drachecha De'ehu, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all your ways. Which he describes there and here as seeking to take the neutral parts of one's life and transform them into acts of Avos Hashem. And that had been the sort of the first part of the fifth parak, was focused on sort of the basic human activities, eating and drinking and family intimacy and working for a living and sleeping. These are like human activities could be transformed into from neutral to mitzvahs through a sense of kavana. If I have a sense of why am I doing this and how does this drive my avos Hashem forward, I'm eating so that, let's just, I'm hungry, I'll eat, which is neutral, but I'm eating so that it'll power my avos Hashem tomorrow. I'm exercising so that it'll power my avos, it'll enable avos Hashem for more years. So that's, I've transformed what's neutral into yedias Hashem b'chol drachecha da'ehu, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the different things that you do. And then so as the parak went on, he moved to the intellectual part of life. And he said, look, there are certain fields of study. Obviously, Torah is a mitzvah in and of itself. It's a mitzvah per se. And he said there are other fields of study that also will directly become a part of my avos Hashem. I'm going to study history, I'm going to study science, and I'll recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the cosmos. So that's directly avos Hashem. But he said, look, there can be things which don't. In the Rambam's conception, mathematics is not in of itself a study that brings me to avos Hashem. I think the way we think about physics nowadays, being very, very mathematical, so mathematics ultimately becomes in many ways a study of a certain applied math becomes a study itself, a study of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bria. The Rambam says, you're studying algebra, you're studying geometry, there isn't necessarily directly Yedias Hashem, Avos Hashem to be found there, but he says, look, I could just do it because it's interesting, because I need it for work, or because that's what's on the test, or I could study mechanics and mathematics because with an appreciation that it's sharpening the mind and it's enabling me to, it's sharpening my mental tools that I can later use for direct Yedias Hashem. And there's a intellectual B'chal Drachecha Da'ehu, and making my mind into a finer, better tool for Avos Hashem. And then we saw last time, after that, he turns his attention to conversation, which really was sort of a look at the value of literature. And he spoke about, not every conversation is going to be Avos Hashem, but some conversations can be. And he said, and even aside from, you know, I'm having a conversation about Divrei Torah, or I'm having a conversation that's just technically necessary. So if you're having a conversation about morality, or you're having a conversation about mitos, I'm talking about different people. I'm admiring, you know, aspects of their personality. I'm admiring different things, ways they handle certain situations. So that can build an appreciation for a mita tova for myself or for people I'm talking to, and he said vice versa. You can look at a figure and point out the without resorting to Lashon Hara, but to discuss the negative aspects of known aspects of someone's personality, let's say a public figure. Or it could be we already know this person. Or I know there's nothing you don't know, but we're going to pick apart why that was wrong. Or, as we told you last time, it could also be a fictional person. A fictional figure, there's no concern of Lashon Hara. And a realistic fictional figure, three-dimensional developed character, you can really dig into good midos, bad midos, how you react to situations, how you handle things, how you could, how you should, better and worse ways to do that. So he says, look, so that's v'lachtu v'rav. That's v'chaldra ha'chadeihu. I'm having what's otherwise a neutral conversation. I'm engaging it in order to, as an exercise in cultivating more refined midos. So there's, again, as we talked about last time, there's potential for value in literature. The question is, what are you reading and why? And after all, that is the whole point of this whole fifth parak, the third parak in Hilchos Deos, the fifth parak in Shmona Prakim. There'll be lots of activities which, if I have an appreciation of the Avodas Hashem objective in this otherwise neutral activity, I've transformed it. But it doesn't mean, therefore, that the neutral activity is itself valuable. Why I'm doing it is exactly the point. The fact that literature, study of literature could be valuable, the study of mathematics could be valuable, the fact that going to the gym could be valuable doesn't mean it automatically is. That's exactly the question. Is there an appreciation, a genuine, authentic appreciation, of a genuine, authentic sense of a Avodas Hashem objective in this activity? And that's where we left off. That's what we left off with last time. And now I want to take a look at sort of the final topics in this parak. He has one more area that he's going to look at for Bechal Drechecha De'ehu potential. We've already spoken about sort of basic human activities and different intellectual activities. Conversation, literature, together with the mathematics. We'll take a look at one more field, one more area, and then he's going to pull all these pieces together in the large. So let's take a look here in the Shailat edition on page Resh Mem Gimel. He says, before he moves on to one more field, he says, you have to understand, if we're going to be genuine about this, not just say, I'm doing it, l'man Hashem. If it's real, which is what we're looking for, real, authentic, genuine, kavanah l'shem shamayim, say it won't only be a question of what's going on inside my head. I think I might have mentioned in the past, Rabbi Twersky's presentation of this idea of v'chal drechecha de'ehu. They imagine two people with identical schedules. And if you look at their weekly calendars, Same number of hours in the Beis HaMidrash, same number of hours in the boardroom, same number of hours in the dining room, same number of hours at the gym, same number of hours with family. The breakdown by hours, it's about the same. And yet, one of them is being Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24/7, the other one is being Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu 2-3 hours a day, if that. Meir Twersky. So he said that's exactly what the Rambam is describing. That these two people could be doing the same activities, but what their intent is, what their motivation is, what they see as a sense of goal transforms the one person who doesn't have that sense of b'chal drechecha de'ehu. So his avos Hashem is limited to when he's writing tzedakah checks and when he's davening, when he's learning and doing overt mitzvahs, and everything else is may not be sinful, but it's neutral. And here's this other fellow who's doing all the same things, but with a sense of purpose, with a sense of eternal purpose in these in the moment activities, transforms them into Avos Hashem. They say it's a little frightening when you think about the opportunity cost. And it's incredibly exciting when you think about the opportunities. As Avos Hashem is not limited to what I'm doing, what are mitzvahs per se. And if you think about it, this is going to be, I think when we began this topic, we thought about this, could be the most, it's potentially the most ubiquitous mitzvah. you can spend far more time of a chadrachecha da'ehu than almost any other mitzvah, than almost any other active mitzvah, because most other active mitzvahs will be a small percentage of my day, a small percentage of my week. But chadrachecha da'ehu is all the time. It could transform large chunks of my day. If I engage it, as he's going to say soon, no one's arguing this is easy to do in a genuine fashion, but it's very powerful. Now, but again, so b'chol d'recha de'ehu, to a certain extent, I could be doing the same activities, question what my intent is. Rama says, but of course, if I'm genuine about it, it will change the way I do those activities. Kasher yasim ha'adam kavanosa minyun zeh, yizbatel mi pu'lasav v'yechaser mi dibirav harbeimot. If I'm going to take in the most recent example, the Rama says, if I am going to approach conversation with a sense of purpose, I'm going to speak differently. I'm going to choose my topics. What's that line from Eleanor Roosevelt? Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. I think for a number of years I had that up in my shiurim. Made into a poster. I think I came across it that quote the first time in the Beis HaMedrash of the Boker Ratan Kol. It was good Dvar Musar. And it's true. And if you have a sense of purpose, you're going to choose different things to say. As Rama's pointed out, a discussion of people could also be engaged in a large-minded, great-minded way as opposed to a small-minded way. But obviously the tone and tenor will be different and the topics will be different. There'll be lots of things we won't talk about at all. Not only because I'll notice, I better not speak Lashon, I better not do Averos, but even in terms of things which aren't forbidden, but I'm going to be choosing things which are of value as opposed to things which are not. So definitely there'll be changes, there'll be edits. And here he opens up sort of an interesting point. Kimishi yidbak bezos hakavana. If I'm really dovik to this sense of intent and purpose, that's not just sort of a passing thing, it really becomes a part of me. I begin to integrate a sense of divine purpose into the everyday warp and weft of life. So over time, my tastes will change. I'm no longer going to be driven to coat my wall, to gild my walls. I'm no longer going to feel the need to embroider my clothing with gold, well, or whatever the modern equivalents are. I may no longer need that designer label quite as much. Because what drives me has changed, what my destinations are has changed. And then he says in a remarkable B'chol d'rechecha da'ehu turnaround, he says, they'll realize that there might be B'chol d'rechecha da'ehu value potentially to be found in gilding your walls also. Wow. So he says, on the one hand, there'll be things which you'll realize are silly and aren't eternally meaningful. On the other hand, you can also potentially find value in that. Eli imkein yichaven bezela harchiv nafsho. I might say I am going to go for the gold, literally. I am going to seek to invest and beautify my house. Kedesha tavri v'yigarash chol yomimena. L'harchiv nafsho. To broaden my spirit, to widen my spirit, so I'll have a healthy emotional state. Yigarash chol yamimena, achetia behira v'zakala kabel ha'chachmas. If I want to put myself into a happier mood, so that my mind is clear to be used for valuable things. Kederach sha'amru.
You make your house look in a certain way, and you it gives you the ability.
I mean, Feng Shui is like I don't know if it's Avodah Zarah Chu Kasaka, but that's like a cult. I think.
I meant it like where things are like set up in a way to
that somebody
is more like
ergonomic.
What?
Ergonomic.
Oh yeah, maybe something.
Right, no, but not just practical ergonomics. Like it's set up so that it's more save time, which is also valuable. But even I set up the room in a way that's more attractive and more pleasing. And if, in a simple sense, if the room is cluttered, I'm going to feel one way. And if the room is airy and open and inviting, it's going to put me into a different frame of mind. And if I have an inviting room, so my mind is ready to, is prepared to take on big problems, think about big ideas. Kedar Shamru, he has a slightly different gears in this Gemara. Dira na isha na. The gears that we have is machiv and daito shel adam. If I'm spending time with people whose company is enjoyable, although Gemara sounds like also maybe just a beautiful setting, beautiful people around me, a beautiful home. The gears that we have in the Gemara is machiv and daito shel adam. It broadens. Literally, it broadens the das. Now, there are some Mefarshim who say that's a bad thing. What does hachavas hadas mean? Does that mean that it makes you a material person? It's usually assumed to be a positive thing. It gives me more headspace. The way he explains it, look, nefesh til ba'machshava te'acher ba'hasmadasa yin b'dvar ma'kashim. If you're working hard, it's thinking something through. Extended sustained mental effort, you get worn out. You get worn out. Kemoshi yisayef haguf b'his asko b'malach samiyagas. Just like your body gets worn out when you're doing physically challenging labor for a long period of time. So your mind will get worn out. Thinking about learning, think about something else which is valuable, self-reflection, self-improvement. So you need to rest. Your body needs to rest after physical exertion. Your mind needs to rest and to reset and reboot. That's your nuach v'yishkot. But all yachzor l'shivuyo. You need to relax, and then you're back to equilibrium, to that shivui, to that balance that the Rambam was talking about in the previous part. He says, just as it's the case physically, that after a hard workout, or after hard work, you need to relax and rest and regain your strength, and regain equilibrium. The mind of the neshama need to relax also. V'la'asok b'menuchas chushim. It's an interesting term. A rest of the senses. Now, at first that sounds like giving your senses a rest. But what he means, I think, as you see in the next line, is to use sensory input to give your mind and soul a rest. K'mo ha'staklos b'tziyum v'dvar manan. You can look at artwork. You can look at something pretty. I should toss him in a halayas. So that'll allow me to get past the mental fatigue. So the Gemara talks about, what would the Chazal do? Ki chal shir abban and begirsa. When they were exhausted from learning, what would they do? The Karav HaDarva, the Rambam, is very fascinating. Says, I think it's likely, Rambam says, sounds like he's unsure. But he says, you know what? Speculatively, the Rambam says, I think it's, you can make the argument, Shalzeha openly you elugos v'lo pulos hevel. That if this is the approach, so then the gilding is not a bad thing and it's not a meaningless thing. Ritzoni lomar ha'esorus lasias ha'pituchim v'kishutim ba'binyanu v'kelim v'avagadim. Investing in making things beautiful. It says, in other words, the almost you could say the rehabilitative value of experiencing art. That sounds like what he's describing. That I could use, art could be a vehicle for enabling me to be more productive. So if the goal is not just, I want to show off, I want everything to be fancy, because I want everyone to see how wealthy I am, but I'm looking for beauty because I see value in beauty, and I see instrumental value in beauty. In other words, it's mentally refreshing. It's emotionally refreshing. It's mentally refreshing. It says, so there you have it. Now you found the b'chol drachecha de'ehu approach to art. And again, as Rambam said, it doesn't mean art is automatically good, but it means art has potential to be good. And the question is, what's my, as with everything, yeah, that is, again, the whole essence of b'chol drachecha de'ehu, is that what my objective is can determine the value of essentially neutral activities. It's not, sometimes Torah Mada is sort of misused or hijacked to just be licensed to do whatever I want to do. Well, it's Torah Mada. But the way the Rambam presents it, it doesn't just mean it's all good because it's culture. Culture doesn't make it good. It doesn't necessarily make it bad either. You know, the question if it's neutral activity, so it's on me. What's my goal? What's my real goal in engaging in this activity? And that can transform. If I have a legitimate, authentic, genuine goal, Arvos Hashem, and I see this as a means to Arvos Hashem ends, so then I've transformed the means, when your means to an Arvos Hashem goal, the means themselves become a mitzvah of Bechal Drachei Chadayehu. I'm seeking Yedias Hashem on a trail that leads through this activity. So that's powerful stuff. So we've seen he's found, again, Bechal Drachei potential value in basic human activities, in the pursuit of better health and fitness, in mathematics, in literature, and in art. So even in art and beauty, there is potential. The da, and now he sort of brings everything back together. Yeah.
So something you said interested me, and I guess it's, well, I'll just ask the question. You said that, well, if it's beauty, artistic beauty or aesthetic beauty, can have this kind of instrumental value.
Right.
But does it have any, does that mean it doesn't have any pure value? God creates, God created the whole physical universe and everything. Certain colors look really nice together, and certain I was gonna say nature, but maybe that itself is appreciating directly what God created, so it's a little different. But is there any value in aesthetic beauty other than achieving something?
Well, unlike the Greeks, we don't see aesthetic beauty as the ends, a valid ends of life. To say that I live to find physical beauty, to say that I live just to produce physical beauty, and that's it, so we would say that's a very impoverished goal for life. But at the same time, we would say, this is reality, and how can I use it to reach Nitzchias? How can I use the reality of aesthetic beauty to, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me an appreciation for if I have a certain aesthetic, as I have a sense of appreciating, maybe even creating beauty, literary beauty. I have a knack for poetry. I have a knack for reading poetry. I have a knack for writing poetry. I have a sense of mathematical elegance. And I have an appreciation for visual elegance. So what can I do with that? I think that's the question. Because Rav Baruch Hu gave me a talent. So what can I do with that talent? Like any other talent. The question is, so what can I accomplish with that? Am I just going to let it be, or am I going to... I think the Rambam would say, so that's where a Jew needs to think deeply, to be self-aware of what are my talents, and to ask myself, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many Avos Hashem goals for us, and how can I use those talents? Can I use those talents? I might be able to use a talent, an appreciation, an aesthetic sense to notice the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, as you were saying, in finding it in nature. I may be able to use those talents and put myself into a better mood, as Rama talks about here, and where that could get me. I might be able to use it to help others. And it's like, I might be able to use my artistic capability to cheer up other people. Whether it's cheering them up so that now they can accomplish greater things, cheer them because they're sad. That's as Rishal Salanter is quoted as saying, Yena's gashmis is dein ruchnis. Taking care of someone else's physical needs is ruchnis for me. That is in and of itself a mitzvah. And maybe it'll be to, if I have an appreciation, an aesthetic appreciation, maybe an ability to create, whether it's visual or literary, whatever type of view that is, so I can use that to beautify a mitzvah. If I can convey ideas with greater. I'm going to, someone wrote to Victoria, I'm going to transform them, literally, into something of beauty. And that's Torah Mefor B'Chli Mefor. That's an incredible application of Hidra Mitzvah. Or I can, some other Masa Mitzvah, I can make it beautiful. So we do it, it's clear in Halacha that we see value in presenting a mitzvah in a beautiful way. So we see aesthetic as a thing of value. But the question is, it's a thing of value, so how am I using that value? It's not, aesthetic is not a goal in and of itself. And there we differ with the Greeks, who saw aesthetic per se as that is a goal. That is a goal. It's a valid goal for life, to create beauty. We see beauty as something valuable, but not a goal. Not in and of itself a goal. Does that make sense? Because Yafta Kimliya, and I think this may be captured, and the truth is, now that you mention it, maybe that's a reference in Chumash to this idea of Bechal Drachecha Da'ayu. Rambam is about to give another source in Chumash. For Bechal Drachecha Da'ayu is a pasuk in Mishlei. That's what the Rambam in Mishnah Torah presents this as a now with Tarek Mitzvah, because it's a pasuk in Iksuvim, a mitzvah divrei kabbal. The Rambam here is about, in Shulchan Aruch, is about to present the source in Chumash for it. But maybe another one is Yaftel Kim Yafes V'Yishkin Ba'al Hashem. That pasuk lays out there's beauty in Yafes, and that beauty ought to, in here, ought to be put at the service of the Ohel of Shem. And that's taking something that which is nice and inherently morally neutral, and I can transform it into something that's morally good by placing it at the service of Avos Hashem goals. So do we value it? Yes. Is it a value? Not necessarily. It could become value. It has practically that there is a, we recognize the reality of aesthetic beauty, and the question is so how are you gonna
channel?
Yeah.
That means
how are you gonna channel, how are you gonna leverage it? How are you gonna invest it? Is money good? Depends how you use it. Right? We don't see pursuit of money as a worthy end goal for a person's life. But we do see money as something that could potentially be a vehicle for all sorts of good, right? So if I'm pursuing money with a clear sense of where I want to get with this money, that is great potential. But if it just becomes hijacked into just money for money's sake, so that's not a life well lived. It's a missed opportunity. The same is true for beauty. Right, right.
Sorry, what?
I said, there's a bracha that you make on beauty. It doesn't make it an end goal. We see value in food, but to live for food, and that was the first example. Right. Anyway, what was Moliere's? I don't know how to say it in French, but to live to eat versus to eat to live. And food could become a part of get me places. But if that's the destination, so then things have been turned around. The same is true. If beauty becomes the destination, that's a problem. V'daki zosa madrega himadrega yonu ma'od v'kasha. So now that we've had the chance to really sort of wrap our minds around this different presentations and different examples of b'chal drachecha de'ehu, Don't beat yourself up for not being there now. This is a really, really, this is a very high level. Literally, Madrega Elyona Mo Vikasha. And this is difficult. This is a real challenge. To live life this way on a regular basis. To reach the apex of this, where this is a constant part of my thinking, few people will summit this. And those who will achieve this, it'll be after a lot of practice. If you come across a person who fits this description, Wow. Rambam says, I would not say that he's below the level of prophets. If you really, if your life is not just, you know, occasional pops of b'chol tzarecha de'ehu, but this is comprehensive, I'm living comprehensively a life b'chol tzarecha de'ehu, and that's a Navi. I mean, he may not actually have merited nevuah, but he's on the moral, spiritual level. He's that degree of tzaddik that a Navi is. Ritzoni lomar, shuhu yanhig, and then he gives a more precise definition. What does it mean to be on the level of a Navi? Shuhu yanhig kalchos nafsho kulam. That he's driving all of his talents are at his disposal. All the parts of me answer to my will, and my will places all of my talents. Yasim tachlisam Hashem yisalavat, and all of my talents are placed entirely and solely at the towards worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yasa, this is an extraordinary madriga. He said that's where you want to get in order to be a Navi. V'lo yasa masa gadol v'lo katan. I do no action great or small. V'lo yidaber mila, I don't speak a word. No action, no word, unless elim ze hamaso ze adibri yuvio el ma'ala. Unless I wouldn't do or say anything unless I see clearly how it gets me to a certain achievement in mitos, achievement in mitzvos, or mashiyavi lamala, or I see this will get me to something which will get me to a mile. It may be direct or indirect, but it's a total clarity of purpose, and I act only with clarity of purpose. Every action is thought out. Maybe who tafkus sahi or ino maybe v'az yaseh, and with clarity, will it get me to a better place or not? And that's what drives my decision making. She says, if you're on this madrega of comprehensive b'chol drachecha de'ehu, that's enough. Lahanik kochos nafsho kulam for Avos Hashem. Everything is placed, yasim tachlis tam Hashem yisalavad. Everything is placed in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and solely in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but that's, you may not make it to the top of the mountain, but you have a sense of where the summit is, you know what you're climbing towards. And you can, over the course of years, move in that direction. Now here comes the Pasuk in Chumash. V'zehu asher darash imenu yisa'ala shenichavein elav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doresh of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, expects of us, shenichavein elav, that we should, what this line might mean is that's where we should be pointing ourselves, we should redirect ourselves. In other words, few people will reach the summit, but we can all climb in this direction. We can all grow in this way. If you have what was it, Emerson? The hitch your wagon to a star? Right? If I have a sense of what the ideal is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to move myself in that direction. However far I can get, but I need to have a sense of the ideal so that I can angle my life in that direction, direct my life in that. That's the trajectory that I'm taking. Ritzono l'omar, b'chol, it says, what does a pasuk mean? V'haf t'Hashem elokecha b'chol vavcha v'chol nafshecha. To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all my heart, with all my soul, meaning b'chol chelkei nafshecha. With all of my soul, means all the parts of me. She'tasim tachas kol chelek mimena tachas achas. That I seek to place all the different parts of me, all the drives and all the talents and all the aspects and all the interests try to place them at the, point him towards a single goal, which is Avos Hashem. And he says, the Nevi'im talk about this, and here's the pasuk which he highlights in Mishnah Torah, B'chol drachecha de'ehu. Interesting, they refer to Shlomo as a Navi. B'chol drachecha de'ehu. And he says, Chazal explained that pasuk, Afilu b'dvar aveiro. To know HaKadosh Baruch Hu always, even when you're doing an aveiro, what does that mean? Shetosin la'pol ha'hu tachlis klapi ha'emes. That even if there has an avera b'tzad mitzad, even if there's an avera aspect to my activity, I can find how it moves me forward. Or Shailat discusses what does that mean. He says maybe a reference to bad mitos, which at times would be appropriate. And then he closes, and we have to close now. He says a line which he ironically speaks at length about how brilliantly terse, concise, and pithy this line is, how much depth is fit into this one little line. He says he thinks that there must have been Ruach HaKodesh. It's clear that Chazal wrote this Ruach HaKodesh. There's so much meaning in one little line. B'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. That all of your ma'asim should be for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that encompasses everything we discussed in this parak, and that closes parak Hey. We're not going to be learning for several weeks, but hopefully we'll resume in February. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.